You're listening to Siren Radio, and it's time for another Cultural Connections. We're in for a rare treat today, because normally he is the voice we hear in the background, the voice that effectively makes the decisions about some of the music, etc. But Professor Ola Oganyemi is one of the co-hosts back in the hot seat again. Ola, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. It's not just yourself, of course, today, Ola, because we have a fabulous individual who probably has forgotten more about IT and information technology than many people around the globe, basically. Siobhan Kassoun, welcome to your first ever Cultural Connections.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. I look forward to it.
Excellent. Well, it's great to connect with your good self. And we'll be heading off into a variety of other bits and pieces within the next 50 or so minutes from that point. Let's just set the scene. Ola, a journalist, a lecturer in journalism, a specialist in trauma, a specialist in dealing with trauma, as trauma studies, etc. How do you see yourself these days, apart from polymath extraordinaire?
Quite a description you've given me. Well, I see myself actually much more motivated to be able to make a contribution, to be able to see journalism practice in a new light, although it has been like that, but we never really recognized the fact that you could be impacted by the story that you cover. And actually today there's a joint, symposium between JETREG, which is Journalism Education and Trauma Research Group, and then in Sheffield, where they have the communication organization there under the UNESCO, which they're having a symposium this afternoon, which I'm going to miss, unfortunately, discussing some of the issues that affect journalists and journalism and things like that. So, yes, it's something that I'm pleased that University of Lincoln is leading it, basically.
And one of the issues with respect to trauma, of course, is that there never seems to be a lack of trauma. There's always some part of the globe somewhere, whether it be Gaza, whether it be Ukraine, whether it be Nigeria, dare one say at times, which Definitely. Is suffering challenges with respect to that. Mm-hmm. Journalists' duty is clearly to call that out, and we saw this back in the Vietnam-Cambodia war days with Sidney Schomburg, and the movie Killing Fields addresses these things. Do you think things are getting better in the 21st century, or are we still just not learning our mistakes, or learning from our mistakes, shall we say?
Yeah, I think things are actually getting worse, in the sense that it's not because we have many more traumatizing events happening, but it's because of the relationship between journalists and the people they're getting information from. Take for instance, I think during the Second World War to some extent, and in other wars, civil wars that have taken place, when you wear that the cover and put yourself, you identify yourself as a journalist, you are much more respected. They will allow you to do your work, and then they didn't see it as the enemy. But what has happened in the past 20 to 30 years is that journalists are being seen regularly as the enemy as well. You see, so whether you have your cap on or you have family, they can deliberately shoot at you or kill you. So that has made it much more dangerous.
Yeah. Siobhan, a bit of background, please. Share with us your connection with the University of Lincoln, what you do. I alluded to, obviously, your IT expertise and so on, digital support. Just set your own scene,
yes,
please.
Yes, I've been at University of Lincoln since 2013 now, so I've come up to my 11th year here. Mm-hmm. So
survived the decade.
Yes,
good.
Yes. So yeah, a lot of stories to tell.
Sadly, we can't broadcast them, but never mind.
Yes, either. And a lot of trauma gathered, a lot of employment-related trauma along the way as well, no doubt.
Just let it out. not too far, but we can cope with that.
But I'll tell you a bit about my trajectory. So I started in 2013. I was on the military programs for the work-based distance learning team in the business school. So I was the the first e-learning content developer in the university's history. So that that role hadn't previously existed. So I did that for a year. Then I moved to Central University team. There's a team called EDU, Educational Development Enhancement Unit. Then I sort of developed into being like a digital education developer. So I did that for 2 years. Then there was a restructure. Then I moved to a digital education.
A restructure at the University of Lincoln? Sounds unusual.
Yes. And then I moved to the digital education team. And then my role became more about the... Before, the role was more about enhancing education through digital. After 2016, it was more about using digital to enhance education. So the focus is slightly different. I really enjoyed that role. I got promoted to be a team leader as well. Started doing a PhD back in 2017. And a year and a half ago, I moved to the School of Education as a lecturer in digital education. On Sunday, I just submitted my PhD as well.
Congratulations.
Six years in the making.
Good.
That was good, 90,000 words.
And the topic?
Academic freedom in the digital university. Mm. So it looks at the role of digital technologies in universities and how they're used for performance management of academic staff and how it impacts on the freedom agency that academics have in terms of how they teach, what they teach, and also what they teach and how they research. The collaboration was with my supervisor, Professor Terence Caron, who'd worked with the union, the UCU, before. So the UCU was a collaborator on it. So it was a huge sector-wide survey, over 2,000 responses. So PhD submitted. I've got a public report coming out as well. Got loads of public engagement coming around that. So I've sort of moved from helping people use learning technologies to more researching the impact of organizational technology and how it mediates power between management and workers and how it changes incentives and what people can do.
Siobhan, there's an awful lot to unpack within that, and we will attempt to start beginning to analyse it over the next few moments, etc. But let's go to your first choice of music, if we may.
Yes.
Homelands.
Oh, yes, from Nitin Sawhney. When I first came across Nitin Sawhney's music must have been around the 2000s when I started university. I went to University of Exeter in 2000. I really loved his music, the hybrid mix of different cultures. So this song's, it's a bit of a long song, it's about 7 minutes, I think, but it's fantastic. It's got Qawwali singers, it's got some flamenco, it's got really Indian classical music, British influences as well. And must be about 23 years now or so, Nitin Sawhney has been one of my favourite artists. I've seen him twice or three times perform live. But this particular song is one of my favourites, especially when you sort of put on the headphones and you really appreciate all the subtleties and the nuances in the song and the emotional crescendo. And so when I was asked to select some songs, I think this is a song that's probably meant the most to me. And so the song's sort of been with me at 20 years or more. So I'm not sure if many people know the song, but it's a really beautiful song.
Ya no mal mi te la vi. Thank you.
First choice of music on today's Cultural Connections by Siobhan Kassoun. And an excellent choice it was, Siobhan.
Thank you very much. Yes, I hope you'll enjoy it, especially if you don't not familiar with the artist. His albums are really beautiful, and I strongly recommend the song with Paul McCartney that you can find on the platforms of YouTube.
It's at the heart of Cultural Connections, really. It's always when we put the whole programme together, or had that very much the connectivity across the base. University of Exeter, you mentioned, Siobhan.
Yes.
Why?
Why? I studied, despite my background in digital, I actually studied archaeology. That was my undergraduate. For some reason, which I can't fathom, because I'm 42, 43 years old now. So you know, that was like half a lifetime ago. I really was fascinated by archaeology. I think I really liked the programmes that were on TV at the time and the theoretical side. And archaeology was only done at certain universities in those days, Durham, Exeter, sort of the Russell Group type ones. And yes, and it was also not in London as well. There was a, I don't know if it's still there, but there was a trend to not go to the university in your hometown.
And had you been inspired by Indiana Jones?
I loved Indiana Jones and the other stuff as well. Not so much Time Team, but a lot of the other documentaries that were around. A lot of documentaries was
so Tony Robbins and perhaps.
I preferred more the conceptual, well, highly produced documentaries on Egypt and everything and all that. Those really, really inspired me. And it was interesting. Exeter was a very different place. I grew up in South London, so I'm from Crystal Palace in South London. And
place I used to pass by regularly on my road to Dulwich, basically.
Dulwich Village is very close to me, very close to me. But Exeter was a very different place. It was a very middle-class university, very white, very unculturally diverse.
Uri Geller connected with the University of Exeter? I know he was connected with the football team.
With the football team, So at some point, Michael Jackson and Uri Geller were doing, and there was a monkey as well, I think, as well. They were doing some stuff with their football team. And Lee Sharp played for the football team as well, ex-Man United. Exactly. So there was a lot of these gimmicky things going on with the football team.
Exeter.
The football team was as bad as Lincoln City, though. It was neither...
or as good as Lincoln City, let's face it. I mean, I'm sure they had one or two interesting cup runs where they sort of did a few things back in the day, really. But still, it's as was once said, it's not the winning that counts, it's the taking part.
Yes, but Exeter was my first experience living in a cathedral city, because obviously Lincoln is similar in...
and indeed established to be part of the triumvirate of cathedral cities. Durham, York and Lincoln. Lincoln be a little bit behind the curve in terms of finally being established, but we got there in the end. That's the important thing. So why Lincoln?
My partner, she's a lecturer in the business school, associate professor in the business school now. So after her PhD, she got a job offer to come to she applied for different places and she got the job offer here to be a lecturer in tourism in the business school. I'd heard of Lincoln because obviously I was a massive football fan at the time. So I'd heard of the football team, but I didn't really, never been to Lincoln, didn't really quite know where it was. And obviously academic jobs are, you know, few and far between. So then we decided to come here, give it a go. I was working at the time for a company that did software for hotels, room bookings. So I quit my job. Mm-hmm. We came here. I had a period of like 6 months. Yes, that's why we came. Then I had a period of 6 months of sort of unemployment. Then I got a job at Nottingham Trent. And then I moved, as I said, to work-based learning. But yeah, the choice to Lincoln was purely because she got offered the job here. And it was, I hadn't visited it before we moved. And we moved in January 2013. And I mean, you've both been here a long time. Lincoln was in many ways quite grim back then, especially in January.
If I said that the location of the building that we're currently broadcasting from Siren Radio at the University of Lincoln, it used to be a toxic waste dump. You maybe have an idea in terms of what was there. I think when Ola and myself were you with us, Ola, when we were ferried down by coach, sort of a sharabank trip to Lincoln from Hull?
Yes,
memorable time. Yes. A bit like Vietnam,
and
we get flashbacks.
And this
every
building
so often.
Was the library.
Yeah. Yes.
But, we had this house which had Economy 7 heating, the one that heats up at night, which worked off. And as I said, I wasn't working for 6 months. So, had this cold house where it was heating these bricks at night, wasn't releasing heat in the day. Lincoln was dark, very little to do. But, you know, over my time here, you know, really developed a real love and appreciation for Lincoln.
I think it certainly has improved, and we'd hate to actually put out as a branding point for the university. It's dark and there's not a great deal to do. However, we had hoped to be joined by Hadiza Abdulrahman. She did send in her musical choices, so we're going to play one of her musical choices in any way, shape or form. It's Tracy Chapman, Fast Car.
Ticket to anywhere, maybe we make a deal. Maybe together we can get somewhere. Any place is better. It's
starting from zero, got nothing to lose. Maybe we'll make something. Me, myself, I got nothing to prove. You got a fast car, I got a plan to get us out of here. Been working at the convenience store, managed to save just a little bit of money. Won't have to drive too far, just cross the border and into the city. You and I can both get jobs and finally see what it means to be living. See, my old man's got a problem. Yeah, but the bottle, that's the way it is. He says his body's too old for working, his body's too young to look like his. My mama went off and left him. She wanted more from life than he could give. I said somebody's got to take care of him. So I quit school and that's what I did. You got a fast car. Is it fast enough so we can fly away? You gotta make a decision. Leave tonight or live and die this way. So I remember when we were driving, driving in your car. Speed so fast it felt like I was drunk. City lights lay out before us and your arm felt nice wrapped around my shoulder. And I had a feeling that I belonged. Had a feeling I could be someone, be someone, be someone. You got a fast car. We go cruise and entertain ourselves. Still ain't got a job. Now work in the market as a checkout girl. I know things will get better. You'll find work and I'll get promoted. We'll move out of the shelter, buy a bigger house and live in the suburbs. So I remember when we were driving, driving in your car. Speed so fast it felt like I was drunk. City lights lay out before us and your arm felt nice wrapped around my shoulder. And I had a feeling that I belonged. I had a feeling I could be someone, be someone, be someone. You got a fast car. I got a job that pays all our bills. Instead of drinking late at the bar, see more your friends than you do your kids. I'd always hope for better. Thought maybe together you and me find it. I got no plans, I ain't going nowhere. So take your fast car and keep on driving. I remember when we were driving, driving in your car. Speed so fast, I felt like I was drunk. City lights lay out before us, and your arm felt nice wrapped around my shoulder. And I had a feeling that I belonged. I had a feeling I could be someone, be someone, be someone. You got a fast car. Is it fast enough so you can fly away? You gotta make a decision. Leave tonight or live and die this way.
Let's discuss community voices and the importance of the community. Siobhan, you've already raised the issue in terms of your experience in Lincoln and so on. How important do you think an institution like a university, and we have two of them obviously in Lincoln presently, is to the community in terms of how it can, not just for the local economy, but also in terms of the infrastructure, really impact people's lives?
Oh, yeah, incredibly important. I'll give a few examples because I engage with both universities. I'll start with BGU. I've been a member of the Lincoln Film Society for, I don't know, five, six years or so. So for those who don't know, it's a film club which shows mostly international films and arty films, and they show them, and now it's one Friday a month. It used to be every two weeks in winter. So I've been going to there. So that's on the BGU campus, and through that I've met loads of Lincoln-based people who I otherwise would not have met. It's a really good community resource, a really good sort of friendly society of people doing all kinds of different work, and so that's been really for getting me to that campus, and also meeting some staff there. I tried to go to some of their events as well around Black History Month. I went to a few events they held. I'm also working. They're also both universities also quite a big employer. I'm working on a research project led by Dr. Agnieszka Rydzyk called Hospitality Now, which looks at businesses that hire students in hospitality. So we're working with BGU relating to that as well. So the important building committee is quite important. With Lincoln, I live in the West End of Lincoln. Many of the residents there are either university staff, university students, or former students, or somehow related to the university. And the contribution is incredible in terms of what people create. Many people who are related to university run for elections, whether it's a council elections particularly.
And dare I say it, Siobhan, a community radio service is also important?
Of course, yes. Very, very important, vitally important. And Lincoln contributes a lot. And obviously, when you go to have haircuts and all that, they have obviously siren radio playing in the background. And in terms of people you meet and how people relate to you, being part of the university and the things that the university supports and funds, whether it's sort of the Black History Month events or the LGBTQ plus parades. It'd be difficult to imagine what the city would be like without the things the two university does. Mm. I mean, it might be like the rest of Lincolnshire, which obviously struggles in some aspects due to lack of these actors having these impacts.
To a large extent, obviously Lincolnshire is a big county. It stretches across the demographics. You have Stamford in the south to Louth in the north and so on. Lots of interesting elements within that whole field. And I think it's a bit like the country of England itself. You've got to sort of adjust for variations across the base. Ola, we really talked about in a sense that the cultural aspect. I mean, one of the things I've certainly noticed been the increasing number and really good number of Nigerian students. I mean, Afrobeats effectively emerged out of cultural connections there, since that Tosin Siyemi invited onto the show, enjoyed the whole process, now has his regular weekly program on the whole process. I mean, that's generally a good, that's a sign of things. Do you think that there are any other challenges that we still need to keep addressing from the university's perspective?
Well, I think the university has done very well to attract international students and staff, compared to many years ago when, you could walk the high street and you could count the number of, minority people that you see. Mm. But now that there's a lot of diversity, not in just within the campus, but outside of the campus, because you can find even stores that dedicated, providing food for international, people and things like that. So that's a very good development. And of course, there are many other restaurants now opening that are providing for their.
It's certainly been, a moment of extreme positivity to hear of students from Romania, from Pakistan, who have really benefited from the fact that their parents have been able to listen to them on radio forms and other aspects and connect. I mean, because ultimately, we talk about cultural connections. Mm. As E.M. Forster once said, only connect. That's the whole essence of talking through processes.
It is. And Signing FM, for instance, gives a sort of a platform for students and staff to come and, showcase their own culture and,
without like being assessed. We're not making notes.
Exactly.
Siobhan, you're on a B-plus at present.
Yeah, and the variety of music that we've been able to play on air. It's amazing, which maybe wouldn't have been played otherwise, you see. Mm. So, yes.
And again, interesting, we do, of course, have another community station in Lincoln, Lincoln City Radio, but they would not be playing this music, I can guarantee. No, it's not within the remit. And so it goes. Speaking of music and film societies, presumably Dear Zindagi is a film.
Yes, it's a very big Bollywood film from a few years ago with Shah Rukh Khan. Zindagi means life, and the film's called Dear Life. I won't go into the plot of the film too much, but it's on the various platforms. Strongly recommend. Really, really beautiful film about sort of struggling through life. The reason I chose this song, though, although I've seen the film and I like the film, was for more personal reason. My mum sadly sort of passed away last year, and she was sort of terminally ill. And so before she died, we were able to plan her funeral, and she was able to get involved in this. And for the funeral, we were able to choose some songs to play. And this was one of the songs selected to be played at the funeral. The reason the song was selected is because it's a really extremely beautiful song, very optimistic, and it's sort of about embracing life and embracing life's challenges. There's the video, the music video, which you can find on YouTube, which is, strongly recommend watching it. Again, the song has a really sort of beautiful, euphoric feel to it. But that's the reason I chose it, as we chose it to be a song at my mum's funeral last year.
उसे कह दो हाय 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 जो दिल ना लगे उसे कह दो बाय 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 आने दो दिल ने आ जाने दो कह दो मुस्कुराहट को हाय 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 जाने दो दिल से चले जाने दो कह दो घबराहट को
Love you, Zindagi. Love you, Zindagi.
strange feeling that might just be in the running for Ola's musical choice of the programme. Still got one more to go, though. That'll be coming from Hadiza. She's got another selection that she put into the system. Who knows what could happen? It's Cultural Connections on Siren Radio. Siobhan Kisun and Ola Oganyemi with us in the studio. Let's stick with you, Siobhan, because the spotlight is firmly on your good self. I mean, Ola's obviously chipping in all sorts of ways, which is very good. Challenging preconceptions. I mean, Mauritius, Crystal Palace, yes. Exeter, all the way up to Lincoln and so on. Any particular areas which you... I mean, you said Lincoln, you had this notion of, my God, it's in the north. It must be a complete hellhole there.
I mean, I wouldn't put it quite like that, but
it may well have been.
I lived in Spain as well, so I lived in Alicante for 2 years as well, lived around a lot of places. I'll start with Mauritius. I grew up in London. My parents migrated in the 70s and I went to school until I was 18 in different places in London. And the part where I mean there's not many Mauritians in the UK generally, but the part of London I grew up was I didn't know any other Mauritians. I had cousins, but they lived other parts of the country or outside of London. So it was quite interesting because obviously you tended to have bigger groups of Bangladeshi, Pakistanis, etc. But with Mauritians, there's really no one else I knew at all through school. And people didn't really have preconceptions of it. In the 90s and 80s, Mauritius had because on shows like Blind Date and all that, used to be one of the luxury destinations they used to send the winners to. So all people knew were the beaches and everything.
Well, they certainly didn't send them to Lincoln.
When I went to Mauritius as a child, obviously we didn't really go to the beach because it's a family holiday. So once I went for 6 weeks over summer holiday, and I got sent to school. I had to do like 4 weeks of school, and it was very different because I was still like doing corporal punishment and things there because it was very different. So that was interesting. When I lived in Spain, I lived in Alicante, which has a lot of Brits and non-Spanish people. And we lived with some Argentines. So that was quite interesting in terms of among Spanish, there's quite a negative view of Brits as they were seen as, living in Benidorm and places and not integrating. And also my language wasn't too good either. But that worked well. Lincoln. I really like Lincoln. But when I speak to family,
when you first heard the term "proud to be a yellow belly," I ask you to be a bit closer to the microphone as well, because it's a little bit off mic from this point. What were your thoughts? I mean, because when I first heard that term for Lincoln people being yellow bellies, I thought, you mean they're cowards? What are we talking about here?
I knew the term only. I heard it a few years after I moved to Lincoln, because many of the people I mix with in Lincoln aren't really from Lincoln. So there are many of them are university related or they moved here as adults. So the yellow belly phrase I only knew a bit later. I've never really used it in conversation myself.
Here's the chance.
or heard it used in conversation. In that sense, but as I say, with Lincoln, a lot of people, friends, etc., who haven't been, they have quite strong ideas of Lincoln that it's very white, very conservative, very rural,
full of yellow bellies.
Yes, yes, and I
think even when I've been trying to trace the etymology of that, it's uncertain in terms of is it because the farm labourers used to lie out in the sun and therefore get a yellow belly through excessive sun treatment, or what? I mean, Ola, what were yours? Sort of thoughts when you heard the yellow belly vernacular being employed?
Yeah, very strange. To be candid, I didn't hear the first year I came into Lincoln because I never knew where Lincoln was until I applied.
And but it was Nebraska.
Actually, on top of my, I thought probably it was in Scotland or something like that. So we were living near Liverpool at that point, so I've moved my family from London. We went down to Liverpool, of course, for job, reasons. And we are kind of still one leg in London because a lot of our families, remain in London. So we're always constantly traveling back to London. So when I now applied to Lincoln, it was like consternation. I said to my wife, thinking, I'm going to move further and further away from London. Mm-hmm.
126 miles.
Exactly. Yeah. So the consternation, when I now looked in the map and I saw that it's even closer to London than where we are, I said, look at it. You can just. So that was, lifted the spirit a little bit. So I came down. But it felt, strangely enough, I've lived in many countries, in my short life, lived in, Lagos, Ecuador, lived in, you know, Moscow, New York, London, always in capital cities. Mm. I've never lived outside of capital city in that sense. So, but coming to Lincoln, this is a rural sort of feel like that, it felt like home the first time I got. And I said, if I was over the job, I would take it. And then I was over. And I said, okay, well, there you are.
Destiny. Although I must admit that as a strapline for the University of Lincoln, it's closer to London than Liverpool. It's possibly, yes, again, not the best way forward.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to say about Lincoln, I've lived in different places. So I lived first in Swan Street, then I lived next to the business school in Witham Wharf, and now I live in the West End. But different places, you get access to different resources in Lincoln. So since I moved to the West End 5 years ago, I use the West Common a lot. I use the allotments around there. I do sort of cycling trips along the river to Pyewipe, even as far as the Newark, Collingham, etc. But when I used for the 4 years or so, or 5 years I lived in the centre of town, I never really used those resources at all. You know, I'd never seen the horses on West Common until about 2017. I'd been here like 4 years here. But I think, the part of Lincoln or Lincolnshire where people live, you have access to different resources. And like when I used to live in the centre, I used to think Lincoln was very sort of concrete-y, lack of green space. Mm. The campus was very not green then as well. Mm. But now, 10 minutes outside my house, I've got the West Common, cycling, suddenly you're really in the countryside.
Not quite Mauritius, but at least it's going to be in terms of flora and fauna, perhaps. Okay, we'll have the fourth and final piece of music, which again was delivered by Hadiza Abdulrahman. I'm sure someday she might actually get the right week, time, slot, and maybe appear from the whole thing. But so it goes. This is Gomni.
Thank you.
that's brought us neatly round, with a round of applause as well, thank you, to a classic of Cultural Connections, and it is the moment where we ask each guest to name one aspect of Lincoln that they found unusual or charming or frankly incomprehensible since attending the university. The spotlight very much on yourself for this one, Siobhan. So would you like to share with us any particular findings that you thought?
Yeah, definitely. The West Common, I would say, is quite unusual to... I mean, obviously, you've got commons also like Clapham Common, etc., in London.
Just past the number 37 bus route.
Yes. Yes, and... but yes, so I was sort of aware of the concept of common land, but to actually have one that's filled with horses as well as being really charming, it's really incredible. And whenever we have visitors now, we always take them through, you know, to be surrounded by horses, and they always find it. And they love it. It's an extremely unusual experience to go into somewhere surrounded by 50, 60 horses, be able to stroke the horses. And obviously, if you climb to the top of the West Common and sit on the bench and look down, the view of it is incredibly stunning. At one point, I did think it'd be nice to have had a house which had a view overlooking the West Common from the top. That's such an inspirational view. But yeah, that's what I found really charming, the sort of the unusualness of having a huge field with horses roaming, and also within the West Common as well, you've got obviously you've got all the horse manure, and you've got people playing football around it, which is
a bit of a health issue, I would have thought.
And having picnics surrounded by horse manure and horses walking
also
around.
Also, a bit of a health issue there, so we wouldn't yes. recommend it.
Yeah, but it's also got obviously the tennis courts, which are protected from the horses and
horse manure. Obviously.
Yes,
playing tennis around horse manure, it's not going to be a good sign. You'll get your PhD in a wee while. As
yes.
you said, you submitted your final thesis from that point of view. Will you still stick with the university, or is it a case of, thank you very much, I got my PhD, 13 years, it's time to go?
No. I really, really enjoy living in Lincoln. I really enjoy working for the university. I really enjoy being part of the School of Education as well. Hadith, obviously, who couldn't be here today, she's my colleague in the school. It's a fantastic school, fantastic place to work, fantastic place to live. As I mentioned, my feelings about Lincoln has obviously evolved. Over the time I've been here.
I'm looking for the yellow belly AI.
Definitely planning on sticking here, working here. And I feel really, and I think this is also very important, I feel quite comfortable in Lincoln as well. I know in society there's an idea that, you know, people should be changing jobs a lot, and it's kind of a good thing
career
to
portfolios.
Do. Yes, yeah, and obviously sometimes this is needed, but you know, like changing employees, you know, it can work out good or it can work out not well, and sometimes if you're somewhere where you feel really happy, comfortable, you've got a good salary, you don't need to commute, you're enjoy
grateful
the
to
job.
The good Lord for your blessings.
Yeah, and you enjoy the teachings, you know, to actually change because society says change is good, it can actually be counterproductive. Mm-hmm. One thing as well as working here, which I particularly like, is I can walk in, it's 15 minutes to walk in. When I was in Nottingham, so I'd have to hour on the train plus walking as well and stuff. So,
still relatively slow in comparison to London, where you could have 2 or 3 hours on a train, basically.
Yeah. But personal time, I really value it now, and not sacrificing time to commuting. And also the commuting has a really bad impact on exercise and healthy eating as well.
Well, it's been terrific sharing some thoughts with yourself. We haven't really managed to unpick all of the details with respect to digital technologies and so on, which we had hoped to do, but that's okay. Ola, it's a critical time now, because of the 4 pieces of music we've heard, you as executive producer get to choose one to actually have as a reprise. We will put in Hadiza's choice as a Fast Car by Tracy Chapman and Gomney, which you've just heard, or Siobhan Kisoon's Homelands, or indeed Love You Zindagi. What are you going to see us out with, Ola? What's the choice?
Homelands.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good. Pretty good from that point of view. You've been listening to Cultural Connections on Siren Radio with Siobhan Kisoon, soon to be our doubtless Dr. Siobhan Kisoon.
Yes, in graduation in September.
And Professor Ole Ogunyemi. Sorry, he was a doctor as well when I first time. He's Professor Ole Ogunyemi, from one of you. And we will doubtless connect with you again in the not-too-distant future.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Russia.
Ya no malmiten a mí. Sagapa mapaga, gamapa mapaga, gapa masanini.